We don't want to do well and then end a little bit early and have it start going up again.
The United States braces for the worst from coronavirus. It's Tuesday, March 31st. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. You'll find us on Facebook and Instagram at VOA Asia. Also ahead, the U.S. economy takes a hit as President Trump offers aid overseas. Businesses join the effort to combat the virus. How the food supply might be affected. Chefs to the rescue, keeping students who are out of school fed. It's all on today's VOA Asia. From the east coast of the United States to the middle of the country, U.S. governors say the worst is yet to come as the death toll and the number of people infected with the coronavirus increase. VOA's Elizabeth Lee has details.
As the number of infections and deaths continue to grow, U.S. President Donald Trump is extending social distancing guidelines to the end of April.
We don't want to do well and then end a little bit early and have it start going up again.
We can expect that by June 1st, we will be well on our way to recovery. We think by June 1st.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has issued a travel advisory for the East Coast states of New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut for 14 days in an effort to contain the virus. The governor of New Jersey, Phil Murphy, warns the number of infected people will continue to rise.
Part of it's due to community spread, but a big part of it is we have opened up testing aggressively.
Now a new test will speed testing results from days to minutes.
The FDA authorized a new test developed by Abbott Labs that delivers lightning-fast results in as little as 5 minutes. That's a whole new ballgame. The deployment of rapid testing will vastly accelerate our ability to monitor, track, contain, and ultimately defeat the virus.
Trump says Abbott Labs expects to deliver 50,000 tests daily beginning this week. As more people are diagnosed, state officials worry about what is to come.
We remain on a trajectory really to overwhelm our capacity to deliver health care by the end of the first week in April.
Louisiana has become one of the coronavirus hotspots. Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards anticipates a shortage of supplies soon.
We think the first real issue is going to be ventilators, and we think it's about the 4th or 5th of April before down in the New Orleans area we're unable to put people on ventilators who need them. And then several days later, we will be out of beds.
Louisiana is not the only state in need of ventilators.
That's our number one ask. It's our number one need.
President Trump invoked the Defense Production Act, requiring automaker General Motors to make ventilators. The government is also working with a company that has technology to sterilize face masks. As lawmakers work on getting more supplies, they're asking Americans to stay home. Is it working?
So we're not yet seeing the numbers from the most dramatic steps we've taken on social distancing. We probably won't see that for another week or so.
As doctors wait for supplies, they're bracing themselves for things to get worse. President Trump says the peak and death rate is likely to hit in 2 weeks. Elizabeth Lee, VOA News.
These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. South Korea to offer emergency payments to help ease impact of COVID-19. Popular Japanese comedian dies from coronavirus. Discovery of unusual natural gas sharpens China's maritime sovereignty claims. City at center of China's virus outbreak gradually revives. Kyrgyzstan cancer patients make face masks to fight COVID-19. You'll find expanded coverage of all these stories and much more on Facebook at VOA Asia. Also stop by the voanews.com website. We're glad to have you with us today on VOA Asia. Empty offices, streets, and shops in cities around the world are becoming the new normal. As the impact of the coronavirus outbreak on the global economy is starting to show, some governments are working on mammoth stimulus packages to avoid the worst possible outcome. VOA correspondent Mariama Diallo has more.
In the United States, nearly 3.3 million people applied for unemployment benefits last week, more than four times the previous record set in 1982, according to the U.S. Labor Department. Yet, President Trump is maintaining an upbeat message.
The country wants to get back to work. Our country was built to get back to work. We don't have a country where they say, hey, let's close it down for 2 years. We can't do that. It's not our country.
With layoffs increasing, cash payments and a significant expansion of unemployment benefits were included in the massive $2 trillion relief bill put forth by the U.S. Congress. Ian Smith, who recently lost his job at a wine shop, says the stimulus package is not enough.
If banks are going to be able to be bailed out at a whim, if airlines and cruise ships are able to be bailed out at a whim, but the working class folks who are making this country run, who are literally on the front lines every day during this crisis, aren't able to get even a substantial living wage through this bailout, then that's really disappointing and upsetting.
India has also announced a $22.6 billion economic package to try and ensure that no one goes hungry during its nationwide lockdown that has left tens of millions of poor people struggling.
We rely on our daily wages for food. If there is no work here, then what will we eat and where will we stay? How will we be able to afford food or water here?
Elsewhere in Europe, where Italy and Spain have become the epicenter of the outbreak, the European Commission president announced Thursday a new fund to combat the effects of the new coronavirus.
We launched the Coronavirus Response Investment Initiative to help direct 37 billion mitigate the impact of the crisis, to save lives, jobs, and businesses.
She says what's done now matters in the lives of so many dealing with the consequences of the coronavirus outbreak. Mariama Diallo, VOA News, Washington.
You're listening to VOA Asia. As cases of COVID-19 surge around the world, President Donald Trump said he is open to helping North Korea, Iran, and other countries who need assistance. But there are no funds in the massive stimulus package from Congress that have been allocated for international aid. White House correspondent Patsy Whitaker-Suara has the story.
Hundreds of thousands of COVID-19 cases have now been found in at least 167 countries. U.S. President Donald Trump said that he is open to providing international aid, but did not provide details.
The Surgeon General is speaking to other countries all the time. They're asking him questions. What do we do? Nobody's ever seen anything like this. They're calling our people all of the time. And yes, I have let it be known that we'll help people, including North Korea, including Iran, and including many other countries. It's very important to do that.
The nearly $8 billion in COVID-19 financial aid passed by Congress in early March allocated more than $1 billion for international activities, including assistance through USAID, the United States Agency for International Development.
And it included $300 million towards USAID for work overseas in support of countries that are vulnerable, particularly low-income countries, particularly in Africa, where the preparedness capacity to detect, to surveil, to do contact tracing, to isolate, those capacities need to be strengthened.
But there is no foreign aid allocated in the economic stimulus package.
So, no, not in the stimulus bill, but we are very much, we give away billions of dollars for, as an example, AIDS in Africa. We're still fighting that battle too.
Meanwhile, hoping to defuse criticism that it allowed the disease to spread early on, Chinese companies are selling and donating test kits, health equipment, and medicine to some European countries and all 54 countries in Africa.
China definitely sees a major opportunity with the coronavirus to try to build goodwill. It has this opportunity in part because the United States and Europe have been so inactive. This is a story not just of Chinese activity, which should be concerning, but also of American inactivity and failure of leadership, which I would argue is even more concerning.
The World Health Organization said that the pandemic is accelerating. The WHO is asking leaders to ramp up production of personal protective equipment for health workers. Patsy Whitaker-Suara, VOA News at the White House.
After you listen to VOA Asia, you can see VOA Asia. VOA Asia is on YouTube. See and share the fun with Food Bites, our weekly culinary dive into foods from the homeland. Recipes that came with chefs who immigrated to the United States. Students enrolling in U.S. schools can get their first lessons about life on campus. Subscribe for free. See us often at VOA Asia YouTube.
Happening now in Asia, Indonesian President Joko Widodo says he plans to impose stricter limits on mobility between regions and implement a large-scale policy of social distancing to help curb the spread of coronavirus. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, an increasing number of businesses, both large and small, recently joined in the battle against the novel coronavirus. A small business in the United States changed course from sewing boat sails to sewing cotton masks for caregivers on the front lines. VOA's Arash Arabasadi takes us on board for details.
On the coast of Maine, in an area known for its sailing, the industrial sewing machines that until recently sewed sails now make face masks.
We have the machines and some of the resources to be able to make these right away.
Owner and operator of North Sails, Eric Baldwin, says he and his staff of two learned how to make masks one Saturday morning and moved to full production by the afternoon.
Fun. It's something, you know, something different that ultimately is going to help.
Maine has more than 5,600 kilometers of coastline. Sailboats and their maintenance drive much of the economy near the shore. Business slowed because of novel coronavirus, and one of Baldwin's staff suggested making masks.
Didn't even think twice about it. Knew that I had plenty of work, billable work that I could do, but wanted to be able to stop and do this for us to help.
The CDC says fabric masks like these should only be a last resort after exhausting other options. As global supplies dwindle, businesses like North Sails may be the ones supplying that last resort. Arash Arabasadi, VOA News, Washington.
How dangerous is COVID-19? 80% of the cases are said to be mild. Young and healthy people are at a relatively low risk. Elderly and people with serious health conditions are at risk of fatality. If you have a cough, fever, and shortness of breath, contact a doctor and stay away from other people. For more information, visit the websites at the World Health Organization and the U.S. Centers for Disease and Control. A message from your friends at VOA Asia. You're listening to VOA Asia. Could there be a possibility of a worldwide food shortage in the wake of the COVID-19 pandemic? Professor Tim Benton leads the Energy, Environment, and Resources Program at Chatham House in London and explores that possibility with VOA Asia's Ira Melman.
Well, at the moment, there's plenty enough food in the world for everybody. The issue is, as ever, a distributional one. How do we get, as van drivers and distribution outlets, as people get sick, how do we get the food to them? How do we make sure that those who are self-isolating or sick or vulnerable can access food stores or get food through other routes? As we look ahead, what we can see is that there is the potential for farmers not being able to get the labour to do the harvesting or to do the planting, local community markets, particularly in the developing world, to start declining because people can't mix and take their food to markets and so on. And we can see into the longer future the potential for there to be shortfalls in food production. And when you get shortfalls in food production, countries often close their borders to the export of food. Markets then say, hey, there's not going to be enough food around next year. And prices go up, and then more governments panic and shut their borders. And before you know it, you have a food price spike. All of those are happening now. So in local food stores all around the world, food prices are going up depending on local circumstances. Vulnerable people, you know, people even working in hospitals can't necessarily get hold of food. We can see some governments starting to close borders, and in some parts of the world we can see problems with ongoing harvest, particularly in Spain and southern Italy at the moment, where the UK gets quite a lot of its winter fruit and vegetables from. All of those things are happening, and what I'm hoping is that partly through having these sorts of conversations, governments will wake up to the fact that we need strong international coordination to stop this situation getting worse. If you're a national government, your job is to protect the national security of your people. And if you're looking ahead and saying, I don't know whether there's going to be enough food for my people, then it makes sense, at least at one level, to say, let's not export the food that we already have in country. So it's perfectly rational behavior, just like it's perfectly rational if we're telling people that they have to lock down for weeks to go to the supermarket and stock up. And that's not necessarily hoarding or panic buying. That's kind of rational behavior. But we've already seen some countries, particularly in Eastern Europe, Kazakhstan, stopping exporting flour, Serbia stopping exporting oil. Russia is looking at whether or not to put in place export bans.
What is this doing to the global economy? How does that either contribute or take away from the current situation?
Two answers to that question. Firstly, as the global economy goes into a nosedive and people are locked at home, that reduces very much the available labor for the producers of food as well as the distributors of food, let alone the issue of people getting sick. And on the other hand, as people look ahead to say, well, the global economy is perhaps not going to work, there is the temptation to look inwards into your country's needs first and foremost and stop relying on a globalized trade of goods. So, you know, particularly that sort of thinking leads to putting in place export bans so food doesn't leave your country. And as soon as you start getting that, then the global market accelerates in terms of people who are responsible for buying food end up saying, oh, well, there might not be enough food around in 6 months' time. Prices go up. More countries then say, oh, it's dodgy to rely on globalization and put in place more bad policy. And so that leads to an amplification of the lack of or the supply shortfall in any circumstances.
Professor Tim Benton, who leads the Energy, Environment and Resources Program at Chatham House in London, he was speaking with VOA Asia's Ira Melman. This news from VOA Asia. Next year's Olympic Games have been set to begin July 23rd, 2021. They will run through August the 8th. Yoshiro Mori, the head of the Tokyo 2020 Organizing Committee, announced the joint decision with the International Olympic Committee. All the big stories come your way through the day on VOA Asia, Twitter, and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. VOA Asia continues. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Internationally renowned chef Jose Andreas is known for his great food and his philanthropy. Many times before, he has marshaled the resources of his international restaurants to meet a food crisis. As the spread of coronavirus continues, the chef is again turning up the heat, stirring his pots, and ready to feed the masses. VOA's Julie Tabo has more.
This sounds like a science fiction movie, but September 11th sounded like a science fiction movie, and it happened.
Renowned chef Jose Andres is preparing his restaurants for a major crisis.
Right now, everything looks normal, right? But we need to prepare for the worst and hope for the best.
The chef is temporarily closing most of his restaurants in the Washington, D.C. area and New York to help contain the spread of COVID-19.
Yeah, so we're offering a couple of items for the day.
And is repurposing the restaurants as community kitchens to ensure that people still have access to food by offering low-priced
salmon and salad.
Okay, that's good.
And even free meals to those in need.
If we are able, with these four restaurants I'm opening in downtown, show the way of how the restaurant private industry can be part of the emergency relief, I think in a very simple way we can keep our cities fed, the people that have money can afford to pay, and the workers can be afford to be getting a little salary.
The chef will be providing bagged meals outside of his restaurants, which have been equipped with hand sanitizers and marked in ways to optimize social distancing. He says his concept can be used as a model of how restaurants can help the public if cities become major hot zones.
It's better, obviously, to have little restaurants where people will be able to have access to a plate of food. Elderly that maybe cannot cook at home. Elderly that they are afraid to go to the supermarket or nobody taking care of them. and that they need somebody to bring food to them. If we do this all across, we can be feeding one city at a time.
This Spanish-American chef is also the founder of World Central Kitchen, a nonprofit devoted to providing meals in the wake of natural disasters. His teams work in hot zones all over the world, bringing food and relief to people in need. Other restaurant owners are also trying to adapt to guidelines while taking care of their customers and workers. Gordon Banks is co-owner of several area restaurants.
Sunday, you can ask any of my staff and managers, was a very tearful day for me as I tried to make the decision between cutting jobs and doing what we thought was the right thing for slowing down the pandemic, which was closing all the restaurants. And now we are offering takeout and delivery, trying to get 15 people back to work as soon as possible. We are profit sharing everything, so neither me nor my partner Jackie are taking any money from this. All of it 100% goes to employees.
Banks and his team have adapted, which seems to be the key during these unusual circumstances.
If we don't adapt to the circumstances that we don't foresee, nothing will happen. World Central Kitchen has proven every time that we can adapt to every circumstance, from fires to volcanoes to political situations, to earthquakes, to typhoons, to tsunamis. That's what we all have to do, adapting, and I hope we will be able to deliver.
Julie Tabo, VOA News, Washington.
Now on VOA Asia, this week thousands of U.S. schools closed as officials sought to contain the new coronavirus. But the move presents new challenges for families who rely on the schools' free meals and who do not have the technology needed for their children to study at home. VOA's Kristina Ezevizny reports on how one school district is handling the challenges.
Schools have closed across the U.S. to prevent the spread of the new coronavirus, leaving thousands of students at home. As in other school districts, some families in Montgomery County, Maryland, count on the school's free meals for their children. Others don't have the technology their kids need to do their online assignments at home. So the Montgomery County Public Schools District is delivering printed materials to them.
We have all the materials ready and we make copies available. Most of the elementary students and some sixth grade students receive materials, but we understand that not all receive materials.
Most educational institutions offer breakfast and lunch to low-income families. When the district first closed in the wake of the coronavirus outbreak, the school system served only lunch, but it added all three meals since then. So far, they have served 18,000 meals.
They're increasing the number of meals. Most are served to the Hispanic community. Many do not have access to vehicles. We are driving them in cars and bringing the children on several trips.
Sandra Martinez is a mother of two children, a 13-year-old boy and a 5-year-old girl.
This is the first day I come to pick up their homework and their meals. The school always provides food.
Melissa Rivera, head of communications for Montgomery County Public Schools, says that the most important thing is the safety and well-being of the families, and if possible, to maintain a routine similar to the one at school.
Try to keep the same school schedule, and that they also establish a schedule at home for reading, a schedule for reviewing homework, to do an activity, some entertainment, another for perhaps doing some physical activity.
Some public schools in the country only plan to close for the next 2 weeks. Others are considering shutting their doors for the rest of the year. Cristina Caicedo-Smith, VOA News, Gaithersburg, Maryland.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. Find us on Facebook at VOA Asia. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram, as well as YouTube. We're very glad and thankful you're with us today. We're also thankful for our managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, and Keith Lane. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a great day ahead. Be safe. Be well.